The Quiz Kids, brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer and One-A-Day brand vitamins.
Can you name three common words in the English language that begin with the letters S-U, but which sound as though they begin with S-H?
And there you have the first question in today's School Kids Questionnaire, and you Quiz Kids at home have about 40 seconds to get the answer before we call in our five juvenile brain busters. And here they are, the Quiz Kids. Like every schoolroom, our classroom of the air has a teacher. Here he is now, the chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Bob Murphy, and hello, everyone. Well, I have a question box full to the brim with brain teasers today, and we have a guest observer, a prominent American educator, Dr. Henry Noble McCracken. Now, kids, let's show Dr. McCracken some of your top-notch schoolwork and tell the folks listening who's in class today. Lonnie?
I'm Lonnie Lundy. I'm 11 years old in the 7th grade at Lincoln School, Park Ridge, Illinois.
Patrick?
I'm Patrick Owen Conlon. I'm 10 years old. And go to Fort Dearborn School in Chicago.
Rennie?
I'm Rennie Templeton. I'm 12 years old, and I'm in 8th grade at the Kenwood School in Chicago.
Joel?
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 11 years old in 17th Old School, Chicago, Illinois.
And in our 7-year-old department, Richard?
I'm Richard Weitzler. I'm 7 years old, and I go to the University of Chicago.
Well, good for you, Richard. That's fine. Yes, sir. I know, it's a little warm today, and we've got to be a little slow about getting around. Now, back to that first question from Patricia Carroll of Long Beach, California, who wants you to name two common words in the English language that begin with S-U, but which are pronounced as if they started with S-H. Pat?
Well, there's sugar.
Sugar's one. Can you think of another one, Lonnie?
Sure.
Sure, you bet, that's right. That's two. Can we think of any others? Only ask for two. Well, that's fine. There's Shirley, there's sugared, there's sugar plum, sugary, surety, and so on down the line. All right, well, that means, for sending in that first question, that Patricia Carroll gets a Zenith portable radio from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. Of course, if you children had missed it, instead of the portable radio, she would have received the big $250 Zenith radio phonograph combination. Now, here's our next question. Mrs. Donald E. Kinnett of Los Angeles, California, is very much interested in the Western Hemisphere Defense Conference being held in Rio de Janeiro. She pictures the conference room very gaily decorated with flags of the American republics. If delegates took their places under the flags I described, what countries would the delegates represent? First, under a flag that has four blue stripes alternating with five white stripes. In the upper left-hand corner is a square white field supporting a sunburst. Rennie?
Isn't that Uruguay?
That's right, Uruguay. That's correct. All right, now, a flag that is divided into two stripes, the upper stripe white, the lower stripe red. In the upper left-hand corner is a field of blue bearing a single white star. Now, what country is represented? Lonnie?
Cuba.
No.
No.
Richard?
Chile.
Chile, that's right. Chile. When 63 sportsmen invade Chicago looking for bears, that's news. And that is what will happen Friday night when the college all-stars come to town to gun for the Chicago Bears, the national professional football champions. James Yukius of Chicago feels that you Quiz Kids should be able to identify the nicknames of the all-star players suggested by these songs. You are to get all three of them. And here's number one. Joe?
That's the old oaken bucket.
That's right, the old oaken bucket. Lonnie?
Buckethurst.
Buckethurst.
Northwestern.
Northwestern University, right. Uh-huh. Hey, here's the next one. Lonnie?
My buddy.
My buddy?
Buddy Young.
Buddy Young. Claude Buddy Young. Star from where?
Illinois.
That's right, University of Illinois. And here's the last one. Lonnie?
Laughing on the outside, but I don't know who the player would be.
Well, laughing on the outside, and what's the rest of the title, Pat?
Crying on the inside.
Crying on the inside. So we have two clues there. Joel?
Well, I don't know. It sounds like a double one. It could be Davis and Blanchard.
That's...
Because Davis is Mr. Outside and Blanchard is Mr. Inside.
That's the answer? That's correct. That's right. Little Richard is really enjoying the show. He's applauding with the audience here. Now, nothing like bringing your own applause. Now, here's a question from Mrs. R.F. Nichols, Sr. of Flint, Michigan. That ought to be lots of fun, kids. Maybe you listeners would like to try this at home along with the quiz kids. It's not as simple as it sounds. You quiz kids have all just been given pencil and paper. Now then, Mrs. Nichols wants you to spell the name Detroit out loud and at the same time write the word Michigan on the piece of paper. Now, all right, when I say go, start spelling Detroit out loud. And remember, you've got to yell out those letters and at the same time write Michigan. One, two, three, go.
Capital D-E-T-R-O-I-T.
All right, now I want each of you to pronounce the word that's on your paper. Remember, no cheating on this. Just read what's there. Joel?
Michigan.
How'd you spell it?
Capital M-I-C-H-I-G-A-N.
Fine. All right, Lonnie?
Capital M-I-C-H-I-G-A-N.
Well, so far so good. Richard?
I couldn't spell it.
Oh. I think Richard's doing a little doodling over there. All right, Rennie?
Well, my spelling's not so good anyway. I have M-I-C-H-G-A-N.
And Pat?
Well, just as I was starting to spell and write, my pencil broke, so I don't have anything.
Oh, say, we really had difficulties. Well, that was a lot of fun, and I'll just take and bet you a lot of the folks at home were trying that, too. And now, Instructor Murphy will take over with a few pointers for you mothers at home. Subject, how to pack a picnic basket.
Well, first of all, put all the moist foods in glass jars. Pack the more fragile items on top, and don't forget the salt and paper napkins. Then move everything over from the corner of the basket and tuck in a package of Alka-Seltzer, because the combination of potato salad and ice-cold pop, cheese sandwiches, chocolate cake and pickles and ginger cookies and olives... Say, I'm getting hungry here. But as I was saying, it's quite possible that an unwise mixture of good things to eat and drink may result in acid indigestion, which can surely ruin the picnic fun. Now, that's where Alka-Seltzer comes in. Just drop an Alka-Seltzer tablet into a paper cup full of water, then down the hatch with a sparkling solution it makes, and on with the fun. There's nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer to bring you fast relief from acid indigestion. Did you hear me? I said there's nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer to bring you fast relief from acid indigestion. Get that Alka-Seltzer today from your druggist in either the 30 or the 60-cent size.
Thank you, Bob. Now, children, here's a puzzling question from George Hill of Bremerton, Washington. If you were calling on your girl, and instead of taking her some Chanel No. 5, you took her Spilogaly putorius, would she be just as pleased, Pat?
Well, no, she wouldn't, because that's a skunk.
That's right. She wouldn't like that, would she? Well, that was quick, all right. Mrs. Effie Hansen of Normal, Illinois, asks you to imagine that we are in a courtroom for this question. We shall attend three trials found in literature, and in the first case, you will hear the attorney for the defendant. This first attorney really doesn't appear in the book at all, but see if you can tell whom he is defending. I'll get 2 out of 3 on this. All right, now... Wait until Judge Kelly gets out his gavel.
The attorney for the defense will please proceed.
Your Honor, before this trial proceeds any further, I wish to exercise my right as attorney for the defendant by objecting to certain members of the jury. One of them is commonly called Mad, and another, I speak frankly, Your Honor, I mince no words when I say another is a plain lizard.
Pat?
Well, that would be Alice in Wonderland.
Well, and...
By Lewis Carroll, wouldn't it?
Yes, and who would be the defendant?
Well, the defendant would be the Jack of Hearts.
Pretty close, Rennie.
The Knave of Hearts.
The Knave of Hearts, that's right. Uh-huh. Well, in this scene, the prosecuting attorney general speaks.
Gentlemen of the jury, my evidence will prove that the prisoner has been passing and repassing between France and England on secret business of which he can give no honest account. This jury, being a responsible jury, and I am sure you are a responsible jury, this jury must positively find the prisoner guilty of treason and make an end of him whether they like it or not.
Who is the defendant in this case, Rennie?
Well, that's in Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens.
And the defendant is...
I know it, but I just can't think of it right now. You better call in somebody
Pat?
Else, I'm afraid.
Well, it was Charles Darnay, otherwise known as Charles Evrémonde.
That's right. He was on trial for treason in the Tale of Two Cities. Now, this last trial is from a movie.
You have been demanding actual proof of my client's identity. And yet it's a case in which up to now no such evidence could be exhibited. You will all agree that any evidence submitted by the United States Post Office cannot be overlooked. I submit for your inspection these letters sent to my client by the United States Post Office. What further evidence could you ask for as proof of his identity?
Really?
Well, that would be in Miracle on 34th Street. The defendant's name in the picture was Chris Kringle, but in real life it was Edmund Gwen.
That's very, very good, Rennie. That's right. Mrs. A.E. Erickson of Minneapolis, Minnesota seems to be in a bit of a quandary and would like you kids to help her out. She wants to know just what you would do if you were a babysitter and the baby wouldn't stop crying. Now, just what would you do about it, kids? You know, I should be answering this one. Many's the time I've faced the same problem. Joel?
Well, I've always thought a good cry is healthy for a baby, so I wouldn't do nothing.
You just let the baby cry, huh?
Mm-hmm. Unless I knew she was crying for something, then I'd give it to her.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Lonnie?
Well, first I'd go on... Well, in the first place, if I was going to sit with the baby, I'd come prepared with a lot of cotton and stuff in my ears if it should get too bad. Then I'd try to find out what he wanted. If the baby was older, if it was two or three and it wouldn't stop crying, I don't know. I might have to call his parents if it got too bad.
Uh-huh.
But if it was little, I just don't know what I'd do.
You just don't know what you would do. Rennie?
Well, I just started sitting the other day. With a few little girls, three or so, and they, one of them started crying. But anyway, I came previously prepared with some things. I brought a book and some things, and keep them from crying. I just, I like sleight of hand, so I'd reach up in the air and pull down a piece of gum from the fairy, and that stopped them.
Oh, well, say, now, that's a very clever idea, Rennie. That's fine. And, Pat?
Well, I don't usually have much trouble about that lot. Around our house, because our baby very seldom cries. But in case I did have to sit, I would if the baby just wouldn't stop crying, I'd shake a rattle at it, and if that wouldn't stop it, I'd just lock the doors and go in and let it wait and die out.
Oh, Well, that's that other part of your idea. There's a rattling good idea, I must say, Richard.
Well, if the baby wouldn't stop crying, I'd give her a bottle.
Bravo. Well, that's very good, Richard. That usually works out very good. I think that's pretty good for 7 years old. Here's a tickler for you from Miss Claire Moser of Covington, Kentucky. The hands of a watch stand at 11 o'clock. 48 hours later, how many times will the minute hand have passed the hour hand? Joel?
8 hours later, it would have passed, 12 o'clock, it would have passed it once, and so on, until at 8 hours later, it would have passed it six times.
Well, we're talking about 48 hours later.
Oh, wait a second. Pardon me. Then it... It passed, the minute hand had passed the hour hand 26 times. I mean 22 times.
No. No. 48 hours later, the hands of a watch stand at 11 o'clock, and 48 hours later, how many times will the minute hand have passed the hour hand? Rennie?
24 times, isn't
it? No, I'm sorry. Joel?
46 times.
No. Ronnie?
47 times.
No, I'm wondering if you kids are guessing at this. You can work it out, you know. Lonnie?
Well, in the first place, the hour hand would pass, the minute hand would pass the hour hand in, if it's at 11 o'clock, the hour hand is at 11, and the minute hand is at 12. Well, the next hour, it would pass at exactly 12 o'clock, and,
So, 48 hours later, how many times will the minute hand have passed the hour hand? Joe?
Well, between 11 and 12, it would pass it at 12 o'clock, and then later, between the 1 and the 2, it would pass it. That would be twice. And between the 2 and the 3, it would pass it again, and the 3 and the 4, it would pass it again. And also between the 5 and 6, and so far. So the first 12 hours, it would, up to the 11, it would pass it, let's see, it would pass it 11 times. And then in the next 12 hours, it would pass it 11 times.
So?
Listen. In the next 12 hours, it would pass it between 11 and 12, and then the 12 and the 1, and, around again 11 times. That'd make it 22.
Yeah.
And then the third time, it'd make it 33. But the fourth time, it wouldn't go past it because it'd be just up to it. Would you count it passing it at the 11 o'clock when it was just up to it?
Well, no.
Then it would be 43 times.
No, wait just a minute. No, it's, all right, Joel.
44 times.
44 times, that's right, absolutely right. That's really, that was a toughie, believe me. Ruthie Schaefer of Sayreville, New Jersey, wants to turn the subject matter to a more serious vein in order to talk about violinists. She says that there are three famous violinists whose first names end in S-C-H-A. Shuck. And she wants you to get two of them. Lonnie?
Misha Elman,
that's one. Joel?
Does Yasha Heifetz?
Yasha Heifetz, that's two. Can you give me the... there's a third one. We only need two, but there's another one. Well, it's Tasha Seidel. And now, Bob Murphy with a one-act dramatic type feature.
Scene one, the family living room. Time, right now. The cast, one homemaker known as Mother, and one sample of Small Fry, alias Junior. It is the happy American home. Or is it? Curtain.
Mom, turn on the radio. I'm late.
Junior, you almost broke that lamp. How many times have I told you not to slam that door? And don't you dare turn on that radio.
But, Mom, I gotta hear the quiz, kid.
I can't help it, dear. Mother has a nervous headache, and I simply can't stand any noise.
Mom, please. Can't I turn it on low, even?
Well, all right, but very softly.
Mothers, if a nerve-wracking day has left you with a miserable nervous headache, Alka-Seltzer is just what you want for relief. Yes, Alka-Seltzer can bring you soothing comfort and fast.
Mom, he's talking about you.
To ease up that headache, just try an Alka-Seltzer, then glance at the clock and you'll be amazed to find out how fast Alka-Seltzer can ease up the headache that's making you feel cross and miserable. Now, I hope you bought your extra package of Alka-Seltzer yesterday so you won't find your tablets all gone right now when you need Alka-Seltzer's fast relief. Remember, an extra package on the side keeps your household well supplied. That's good advice, and if you heed it, you'll always have Alka-Seltzer when you need it.
Gosh, Mom, how did Mr. Murphy know you had a headache?
I don't know, dear, but I could kiss you for turning on the radio. Now, you get Mother a glass of water, please, while I get the Alka-Seltzer.
Cut. Curtain. And the moral is, of course, folks, don't turn the radio off when I bring you the Alka-Seltzer commercial.
Bob, I promise I never will. And now we have a few more questions to wrap up, Quiz Kids. Suppose all the travelers now heading for vacation spots in this country decided to visit places whose names matched their business. For example, a wrestler might head for Niagara Falls. You get the idea? Well, now, Robert J. Schmidt of Moline, Illinois, wants to know where these people might go. A watch manufacturer. Where? What town would he go to that might be apropos for his particular line of business? A watch manufacturer. There's a town not so very far away from Chicago where he might go. It'd be a good town, Rennie.
Well, might it be Elgin?
Elgin, that's the idea. Now we're getting places. Can you think of any other towns? A watch manufacturer. Where else might he go? Lonnie?
Could go to the Atlantic Coast. Tick.
Atlantic Coast, Tick.
Tick-tock.
Oh, that's good. That's a dandy. And can we think of any more? Any more? All right. How about a locksmith? Where might he go? What town? Lonnie?
Lockport.
Lockport, that's right. That's a good one. Can we think of any others? A locksmith. Lonnie?
Key West.
Key West? Oh, we're really traveling. Can you think of any others? All right, how about a mathematician? Mathematician. Where might he go on his vacation? Mathematician. Rennie?
I'm not sure. Something struck me. Isn't there some place called Division? I think it's somewhere in the east. I'm not sure.
Division? There could be, Rennie.
I think so. I couldn't tell you where it is or anything. It just struck a familiar ring.
Well, that's a very good answer. Let's see if we can think up a couple more. A mathematician. He's going on his vacation. He's going to pick out a town that sounds something like mathematics or... Well, of course, he could go to Rennie.
Well, he could go to Tallulah Falls in Virginia.
He could, that's right. That's very good. And can you think of any more? Of course, he could go to Times Square or the Pentagon Building in Washington. Or the Great Divide. Those are all on my card here. I didn't make those up myself. Rennie?
Or right here in Chicago, he could go over to one of the quadrangles.
That's right.
The University of Chicago, that is.
That's right, he could. All right, well, that takes care of that question. Now, Mrs. Lena Bradish of Puyallup, Washington, says that she's been a listener to You Quiz Kids since you first went on the air, just as she has learned to know all of her closest friends through their voices alone. She feels close to you because for 17 years she has been blind. So, addressing you as her friends, she would like to hear you quote the Bible verse that means most to you. Joel?
The 23rd Psalm. It begins like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Fine, Joel. And, Pat?
Well, mine is in Matthew 22:21.
All right.
And it says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And Jesus said that when the Pharisees were trying to trick him into saying that nobody should give any tribute money to Caesar.
Well, that's a very fine selection. And, Rennie?
Well, I like the whole chapter of the whole 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, but I'll just say the first two verses and the last one. And that is, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith that I may remove mountains, without and have not charity, I am nothing. And then it ends. And now abide these three, faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity.
Thank you, Rennie. Lonnie?
Well, I like Psalm 119, the 105th verse. Thy word is a light unto my feet, or a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
All right. And, Richard, how about you, son?
I like 1 John 4th chapter 8th verse. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Thank you, Richard. Well, I guess that's the last question for today on account of the school bell says so. And so you quiz kids chalk up another excellent school session to your credit. And now it's time for the judges to make out your report cards and let us know which three quiz kids earned the honor of a return bout next week. And while the judges add up scores, it is my pleasure to introduce our guest observer today, President Emeritus of Vassar College and one of the country's leading educators, Dr. Henry Noble McCracken.
First of all, I should like to commend you and your sponsor for conducting one of the most entertaining and educational programs in radio. You quiz kids have proved many times how well they know their country's history, and I'm sure that they recall how vital to our early advancement was the phrase, "United we stand, divided we fall." Let's not forget it now, when some misguided or scheming people are trying to divide Americans by appeals to racial or religious prejudice. If we let them succeed, what a sorry picture we should make before other peoples in the United Nations, whom we are trying to show that democracy will work. Racial and religious prejudices are roadblocks obstructing the orderly advance of democracy. How can we remove these roadblocks? Well, let's begin with ourselves. Let's recognize that our neighbors have a right to a different color or creed. Let's get along with our neighbors as neighbors. Let's refuse to listen to or spread stories based solely on prejudice against creed or color. That isn't too difficult. All we need is a little more self-control, a little more courage. Just remember, united we stand, divided we fall.
Thank you, Dr. McCracken. It was a privilege to have you on our Quiz Kids program. And now I know your listeners, and especially you quiz kids, are anxious to know the judge's verdict. They tell me that our whole class, they didn't miss any questions. Lonnie was first, Pat second, and Rennie third. You three will be back in school next week, and your competition will be Ruthie Duskin, age 13, and John Pollock, age 12. This is Joe Kelly dismissing the Quiz Kids class until the same time next week. Goodbye, kids.
Goodbye, Mr. Kelly.
Oh, Aunt Mandy, is dinner ready?
Yes, and it sure is, and I got a good hot weather meal. I've got chicken salad, sliced tomatoes, potato salad, deviled eggs, and iced tea. Ain't that scrumptious?
Sounds swell. But put the one-a-day vitamin bottle on the table.
Yes, too often meals that we like to eat are short on vitamins. Lack of vitamins in your food can cause you to feel nervous, irritable, and under par. But here's how you can be sure of your vitamins.
Take one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsule every day.
Lack of vitamins can make you feel tired and dragged out.
Take one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsule every day.
At your drugstore, look for the figure one on the blue package.
Take one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsule every day.
Listen to the Quiz Kids every week and to Alka-Seltzer's News of the World every Monday through Friday over most of these NBC stations. This is Bob Murphy speaking.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.